Hey, 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 guys. Thanks for tuning into another episode of the Live Rich Movement with Erica Lassan. Happy New Year and welcome to 2021. In today's episode, we'll be talking about New Year priorities, goals, and you guessed it, New Year vision. But more importantly, we'll also be talking about why it's imperative that you carry out your New Year's goals. With this, I'll be sharing my 2021 theme with you all. Trust me, you don't want to miss it. It is a pretty good one. Be sure to stay tuned throughout the end of the episode because I'll also be sharing three of my best learned tips to help put you in a position to lead a faith-fueled life of obedience and ultimately more joy. Keep listening. We're going to have a good old time. Goodness, guys, you made it through 2020 in all of its messery. Can you believe it? I'm just like thanking God that we made it. Okay, we here, we in the building. 2020 came with so many unexpected surprises. I mean, the biggest one I'm sure we're all aware of is the pandemic, but then also like with the racial tensions that were rising in the country, and then the election, highs and lows. Thank God that man is not going to be our 46th president yet again. And so many other things. I mean, those are just the big things that were happening on a global and national scale and level. But I'm sure that there were also a bunch of personal things that happened with each of us as individuals because of those changes. But we're here. We made it. So for this episode, I just wanted to do a little bit of a review, just sharing some of the highlights of my 2020, reviewing some of my 2020 visions and goals, and just sharing a little bit of what I have in store for 2021, not by my might, not by my strength, and also not by my vision, but one that I really do believe the Holy Spirit has given me in just leading a more joy-filled, purpose-propelled life. With everything that was happening, so many people experienced so many negative things in 2020, but I found that 2020 for me was an immense year of growth, of clarity, and of really living by faith, which if you guys know, I'm sure you do, my 2020 theme was by faith. And based on the scripture from Hebrews 11:1, which talks about really seeing things as though they're done, even if there's absolutely no evidence for it present. And that really resulted in a lot of change for me in just realizing that I needed to do more surrendering. I gained a better understanding of the Holy Spirit in 2020. I became a lot more clear about what my vision ultimately is, as well as what it isn't, according to what I thought at the beginning of the year, even when I was doing my vision board. And by the time the year had ended, I'd seen that so many things that were on my vision board actually took place, but they didn't look anything like what I expected them to. I hope that if you're listening to this, that you're able to take time out and really consider what took place for you in 2020, though it may not have looked like what you expected it to look like. If you really dig deep, if you really look hard, I'm sure that a lot of the goals that you had at the start of the year probably did come to fruition, just not how you expected. I'd love to hear what some of those things were for you. And if you haven't yet, that you take the time to ponder and think about those things and give thanks for those things and the time that you were able to operate in quiet and in stillness for 2020, so that you can get ready for all of the big things coming for 2021.
It is the start of a new year and the start of a new month, and you know what that means, right? It's also time for a new LRM challenge. Our January 2021 challenge is Room for More. Why? Because as we're starting fresh in 2021, it's time to make room for just that. More. More blessings, more love, more purpose, more clarity, and you know it, more joy. In the Room for More Challenge, we will be taking time to clean up and dust off the messery of 2020 and all of its unexpected surprises. We'll also be taking time to rid you of the thoughts and things and practices that keep you from living aligned with your joy and your New Year goals. By the end of this decluttering challenge, you will have created space, time, and mental energy for the things that you are desiring to manifest most in this new year of 2021. Sound like something you might be interested in? Click the link in our description box to sign up. And remember, the more participants, the merrier, and the bigger the cash pot prize. So grab a friend and get ready to transform in joy, one feel-good thing at a time. The Room for More Challenge kicks off on Monday, January 5th. Take this 21-day accountability challenge and create more clearly defined intentions, boundaries, and space for your vision and your year moving forward. Head over to liverichmovement.com/join-challenges to reserve your spot today. All right, now that I've gotten all of that out of the way, I am so stoked to talk about what is going to be taking place this year in the year of our Lord 2021. So for this year, my theme is, drumroll please. Okay, that's probably not the greatest drumroll. Let me insert an actual sound clip here. Obedience and wisdom. I want to get into a little bit about this theme and why it's so important to me and why I'm actually really excited for it. Because for a really long time, if I am being completely honest with you guys, the idea of this being my theme for the new year really left me with a lot of anxiety. And anxiety is not of the Lord, okay? Obedience is typically seen as a negative thing. It's usually seen as something that requires submission and puts you in a position of being under someone and really leaving you without choice. So I fought the idea of obedience being my theme for a really long time. I'm telling you, like a really long time, probably 2 months. And I think it was just up until yesterday, which was December 31st, that I finally got on board with, okay, Lord, I'm pretty sure that this is what you're telling me I'm supposed to be focusing on for this new year. While obedience usually comes with a really negative connotation, I've come to accept that it could also come with freedom. And that's the part of the theme that I'm choosing to concentrate on and really what has me most excited about this being my theme for this new year. Because when you operate in obedience, and I'm talking about this from a faith-led and a spiritual perspective, when you operate in obedience is the ultimate act of faith. And being that I consider myself to be faith-fueled and purpose-propelled, it would only make sense that obedience be a part of my everyday walk. If there is one thing that I am aiming to concentrate on or think about in this new year, it should be that I am taking my faith to the next level. And it should be that if I'm living by faith, that I actually act on the idea of faith, because we all know James said it best, faith without works is dead, right? So if it's something where we are saying that we have faith and we believe the things that we say that we believe, we should also be acting in accordance with that faith. And the way that we do that is by being obedient. All right, so let me give you guys a little background about how this actually came to me. So in mid-October, the theme of obedience started to stir in my spirit. But like I said, I was fighting a little bit. I was praying on it and I was like, Lord, if this is what I'm supposed to be thinking about, if this is what I'm supposed to be focusing on, please let me know, like confirm it one time, two times, three times, because that's what he does. And I really wanted it to be as clear to me that this was my theme for this year as by faith was for me in 2020. Because if you guys have been following the podcast, if you follow me on social media, if you watch my YouTube channel, I shared the story of how like the Lord stamped it for me that
by faith was supposed to be my 2020 theme. And that was, again, based on the scriptures from Hebrew 11. And it had to do with me seeing the number 111 everywhere and it coming up in multiple instances. And it ended with a fast and the fast falling on January 11th of 2020. Like, it was a whole thing, okay? So it was very, very clear and very evident to me that the Lord wanted me to focus on living by faith in 2020. So I wanted that same assurance. I wanted that same evidence. I wanted that same proof. And I wanted that same like solid stamp of approval for this year's theme. And I wasn't really getting it. Like, I kept feeling like obedience was the thing, but I wasn't sure. But let me tell you how the Lord has a funny way of just like making sure you get it. And in the ways that is needed to stick. Yesterday, which was New Year's Eve, December 31st, 2020, as I was reading my devotional message, I was still like, Lord, man, we're about to enter this new year. 2020 is upon us. And I'm still not exactly sure if you want me to concentrate on this theme of obedience. As I was reading my devotional word, the word gratitude stood out to me a lot, because I'm also in the process of looking for a new devotional since it is the end of the year. And I go hard when I'm looking for a new devotional. Like, not just any devotional will do. It has to be in alignment, and it makes such a huge difference. So anyway, I had been praying on it, and the word gratitude stood out to me, not only in my devotional reading, but also in my Bible reading. And I was like, ooh, gratitude, Lord, I feel like this is it. Like, right? If I'm focusing on gratitude, then I'm focusing on joy. If I'm focusing on joy, then it continues with the theme and my message of living a joy-filled life. Like, basically, I was making for myself all of the reasons why gratitude should be my theme for 2020. But then the Holy Spirit did a whole hi-ya situation and was like, girl, I told you that obedience is it. And in the most unexpected of ways. So I got a call from my brother, Brian, in the middle of the day. It was probably around 2 p.m. And he called me just to talk about like nothing crazy. He called me to like tell me that he should have stayed because the whole family came up for Christmas. And that part of the conversation went on for a little bit. And then at one point, he started talking to me about my social media presence, because like, I've shared with you guys before in the past that like my brother is like a huge part of my brain trust. So we talk a lot about content and strategy and business development and branding and all of those types of things. So we started on that conversation for a while, and about social media, because I've been off of social media for the entire month of December for our December LRM challenge called Disappear December. It was a 21-day challenge on being offline so that you could get real clear about your goals and your vision for the new year. And right as the conversation was ending, he started to mention something to me. And it was so random and so unexpected. And it was like, hey, by the way, I was reading something today and I thought of you. And when he told me that, I was like, okay, like, what's up? Because again, we were about to get off the phone. At this point, we'd been talking for almost 2 hours in the middle of the day. I'm a stay-at-home mom of two. I got things to do. But I was thoroughly enjoying the conversation, so I continued. And so when he told me about the thing he was reading, he was telling me about how he was reading Exodus for his devotional word of the day, and how he'd been reading about the tabernacle and how the Lord gave Moses instructions. Like, he gave Moses a vision, but he didn't just leave it there with giving Moses the vision. He gave Moses like divinely intricate, elaborate, and detailed instructions to go along with that vision. And not only that, with those divinely intricate, detailed instructions, he laid out the foundation, he laid out the plan for what the vision was, but he also gave Moses the support. He gave him the instructions for who should support him in that vision, in creating the tabernacle itself. But besides the tabernacle, in creating the real whole order of how the tribe of Israel was supposed to move from place to place, like the order in which they were supposed to move, how they were supposed to move, what the procession should look like, why the procession should work a certain type of way. Like, in thinking about that book of the Bible, it is so detail oriented that if anyone thinks that God is a God of confusion, if anyone thinks that God is a God of disorder, if anyone thinks that God is a God of disarray, I need you to read the books of Exodus and Chronicles, okay? Because if you really take time to think about it, this is just a fraction of the example of how God works, his mind works, how his presence works, and how his being works. And it's such a wonderful illustration of how we ourselves being a part of God's body, like how we should also be operating with order. But what's more exciting for me is that he gave a vision and he laid it all out. So there was not a need for Moses to decipher the vision because it had already been given to him. Everything he needed had already been given to him. And so it was really, really touching for me that Brian would have that word to share with me, because I've said this time and time again, I have this huge vision that the Lord has given me. Like a humongous vision. It's like so big, and sometimes I've admitted to you guys in full transparency that sometimes I feel like I can be overwhelmed by it, but overwhelmedness is not a fruit of the spirit, right? And sometimes I allow myself to think like, oh my gosh, like get it to a position where there's so much to do that like sometimes you don't want to do anything because you don't know where to start. But even thinking about how the Lord gave Moses this vision and he laid out the details of the vision, it just gives such encouragement to all of us who are in a position where we have a vision, where we have a goal, we have a plan, we have an idea that seems so much bigger than us. But if we trust in the Lord, if we seek him, if we really try to gain an understanding of him and the role that we play in that vision, but not allowing ourselves to get bogged down or overwhelmed by the vision itself, it just goes to show like how faithful the Lord is in making sure that we're able to do the work that we've been called to do. Are y'all feeling what I'm saying, or is my excitedness just like turning into me rambling? Like, there's no need to be overwhelmed by the vision if it's been given to you by the Lord Himself. And that piece that Brian shared with me was just like super exciting, and just realizing like, I'm not in this alone. I'm not doing this alone. All of these things that the Lord has placed on my plate is not meant for me to feel as though I have to tackle it alone. You know, the vision that He's given me, He will provide the instructions. I just have to make sure that I'm continuing to stay still or be still in the moments where it's most needed to gather the information and the details and the instructions. The people that are needed will find me, or I will find them, and in the most awesome and divine of ways that leads to an amazing testimony. The places I need to go, the things I need to do, the things I need to see, like all of the things will be taken care of because it's not my vision, it's the Lord's vision. And so that just got me super hyped. Okay, but hold on, I haven't even gotten to the obedience piece, right? So the thing that solidified the message of obedience was the fact that after sharing all of this like bomb stuff that the Lord did for Moses, my brother like then was like, and you know, it really got me thinking, like the Lord did all of this stuff for Moses, but the key in him being able to do those things was that he had to be obedient. And I was like, yo, like, all right, so I didn't say it just like that, but I got really excited at that point. I was like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness, Lord, you've done it again. And just thinking about, and then, and me knowing myself that obedience had been something that was stirring in my spirit. I hadn't shared with my brother that I felt like obedience was supposed to be my theme for the new year. He just happened to randomly call me. And the fact that this was just kind of like tossed into the conversation at the end of the even at the end of our conversation, and at this point now we'd been talking for 4 hours. It was like the random thing that was at the end of the conversation, but it was everything that I needed as far as a confirmation. Well, not everything. I still want like two more confirmations because that's just how I roll, but that's another story. And once those things come through, I will be sure to let you guys know. But he proceeded to then talk about how obedience was needed, how the Lord gave Moses the vision and he gave him the instructions, but he gave Moses those instructions to be obeyed and followed through to a T. And he gave them to Moses so clearly that Moses could relay them to people under him, and those people could carry out that vision in excellence, like instruction for instruction. But again, that required obedience, not only in Moses, but it required obedience in the artisans that he called forth as well. They couldn't just take some of the measurements that were given to them in freestyle and be like, oh, like the Lord says, a curtain has to be 44 inches or 44 feet. I'm gonna just make that joint like 43 2/4. Like, no, they had to follow the instructions to a T. And Moses wasn't there like standing over each person's shoulder and micromanaging, but Moses at the end, his main job was to oversee at the end of the process that all of the instructions had been followed. You know, and that just got me really excited and thinking about the day when I will be in that position and carrying out this vision and carrying out this work where I can delegate all of these things and all of these parts of this big vision that I have to people that are working with me on my team, and just getting to a point where it's just a matter of overseeing and checking to make sure that the vision has been fulfilled the way that it has been given to me. Knowing that, like, I've been seen, I've been felt, I've been heard by the Lord, and like the way that he has such an intentional way of letting you know that your prayers are always being heard, your concerns are always being considered, you know, and when you need it most, he will let you know that he's been listening, and he will give you the instructions and the confirmations in the ways that you need most. And something else that came up for me was just recognizing the need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and receptive to the message that he's giving you or me or any of us at any given time. And to also be hyper aware of who his messengers are, you know, like never being quick to dismiss a conversation that someone's trying to have with you, never being quick to say, I don't have time to talk right now, or cutting somebody off when they're like, oh yeah, I was thinking about you. You know, when things like that happen, sometimes we may just see it from our human perspective as like, oh gosh, one more thing, or what does this person want? But sometimes like that person, that time of conversation could be the answer to the prayer that you've been seeking. So I feel like, you know, it's just really important that we're just sensitive to our people and conversations, and also just like being sensitive to the answers to the questions that we put out to God himself or the universe or however you want to say it. Like, I believe in Jesus Christ. So the things that I put forth in prayer, just being really sensitive to how those same things are being answered and how the responses are being given to us on any given day or in any particular moment. The other really exciting part about obedience being stamped as the theme for 2021 is the fact that I didn't have a scripture to tie to this theme until today, New Year's Day, the first day of 2021. You guys are getting a life exclusive, okay? But the scripture that I got today came from Joshua 1, 6 through 11. And I'm so, so, so grateful. So this carries a lot of significance. One, because given the message of obedience being tied or connected to Moses as a person, but Joshua was Moses's assistant. So it's like really cool how the Lord has done that for me. And the fact that it ends on a 1-1-1. Okay, y'all know I'm hyped. Joshua 1 verses 6 through 11 says, Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn away from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Verse 8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. In verse 10 it says, so Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own.
Y'all, I'm so excited. So there's a lot of significance as far as why this specific verse means so much to me in this season and in this time. But then it's also connected to a part of what caused me to recognize that Hebrews 11:1 was my theme for last year. And that's a really intricate story. At some point I will tell it. It's I don't want to be too long-winded in sharing this, but some of the key things that I noticed in reading this scripture was the fact that the Lord told Joshua to be strong and courageous, not one time, not two times, but three times. He told him, be strong and courageous. And the fact that he followed that up with saying, you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers. And for me, it's not just this whole vision, this mission of what the Live Rich movement is for me, isn't just about like spiritual awakening, but it's about having people recognize their freedom in joy, freedom in living in their purpose, freedom in having an understanding of who you are by divine creation. And with the world being what it is, with the times being what they are, there is no greater freedom than knowing who you have been created to be in Christ, in your purpose. And the fact that accessing your joy allows you to do it in such a way that brings you enlightenment and like a totally blissed out lifestyle that connects and can be felt by others around you with no like pain or sorrow. Or even if you do experience pain or sorrow, if you're living in your truth, if you are living in your joy, if you are living in alignment with your purpose, that pain and that sorrow that you may feel is only temporary, because you know what's needed in order to get you back on track with living in joy. So when I think of inheriting a land that's sworn to our forefathers, that's what I think about. I think of living in a land of freedom, living in a land where you're able to be light, living in a land where everyone is prosperous and everyone is helping each other. And I truly believe that living in alignment with our purposes and in our joy is what will get us to that place. So that just got me really excited. But the fact that the Lord also told him, be strong and courageous three times. Okay, if you guys know me, you know that the number three is a really big deal for me. It's my favorite number. I also happen to be born on the 3rd of July. And three is the number of joy. And so when I hear of things or see or experience things in threes, I pay attention. I feel like the Holy Spirit is trying to tell me something in those moments. And so I found it no coincidence that this happened to be the scripture that came up for me today. And even the way that it came up was really like not planned or not intended, but I really do believe that the Lord wanted me to find the scripture today on 1-1, January 1st, and for it to be Joshua 1, and for the scripture to end on Joshua 1:11, where he is telling the people to get their supplies ready, and in 3 days from then, they would cross the River Jordan and take possession of the land that the Lord had given them for their own. That's what I'm claiming over my life, and that's what I'm claiming for all of you that are listening here today. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Okay, but wait, there's more. So we're back, and now that I've basically rambled my life away telling you guys all about the past year and what is inspiring this year, I want to share some of my 2021 goals with you guys. So this year I have some pretty big and scary goals that the Holy Spirit has given me as far as my vision, and I will probably be elaborating on those and covering them in a future video or podcast episode. But some of my biggest goals are to increase my membership numbers, which, if I'm being completely honest, really made me nervous and even thinking about it. I got sweaty armpits and an itchy back, like all of that. Because what I understand that the Lord wants me to be super specific. But I also have a thing about not wanting to put God in a box, because we limit ourselves, right? We are so limited by our human understanding, but God is so much bigger than we could ever think or ask or imagine. And he understands us and our potential so much better than we know ourselves. So I always feel really weird about being specific when I'm presenting things to the Lord, but at the same time, it says, ask and you shall receive, right? So I have some pretty big numbers in just growing our membership group and our community. Building a team, again, is a really big goal of mine. And the last one, which I think has me the most like nervous, is about expanding my reach and partnering with other platforms in a really big, in a really bold, in a really scary way. But in all of the best ways, which is why I found it really awesome that Be Strong and Courageous was such a big part of the message that was given to me through the scripture that is going to be tied to my theme for this year. But in thinking about these big goals that I have for the year, it also required me coming to terms with some of my fears. And I'm being completely honest with you guys, because honesty and transparency is a really big part of our mission here. Again, if you are unfamiliar, part of the LRM mission is to help people find joy through purpose, through open conversation and healing experiences. And in this work, it's really necessary that we are honest with ourselves. So in coming to terms with some of my fears, I realized that in wanting to do some of the things this year, like I have to deal with some imposter syndrome, okay? And feeling like I'm inadequate in some of the spaces and places that I may find myself sometimes. And being okay and recognizing that it's not my work that's being done, but it's God's work that's being done. And more importantly, that I have been seasoned and I have been positioned to do whatever it is I've been called to do. I am meant to be in all the spaces where I am called to be. I am meant to meet the people that I will be meeting this year. I am meant to share the message that has been placed on my heart and in my mind and in my spirit. So that was something that I had to have a conversation with myself about. Next up are financial insecurities and having this conversation of scarcity that sometimes pops up in my mind every once in a while, especially being that 2020 was a year of financial stress for a lot of people. You know, so as I'm thinking about expanding and building my team and thinking about these membership numbers, you know, there has been this conversation of like, Lord, we gonna be able to pay for this? And yes, Lord, will we be able to afford this? Yes, we have been given all of the resources that we need. I have been given all of the resources that I need. And so I had to have that conversation with myself as well. I'm sure that some of you guys can relate to this, right? I know I'm not alone. Please let me know I'm not alone. And the last thing that I had to really come to terms with as far as fears was my fear of greatness and giving in to this life of obedience and giving into being obedient as a true act of faith. Because again, this vision that I have is so huge, and all of the things that I want to do are so big, like so big. Like one of the goals that I have this year is to write a book. Yes, that was a little squeak. I want to write a book this year, and it's something that I've been talking about since last year, and I was given a vision for how to do that, and I don't know what that's going to look like or how it's going to go, but it's something that I've been told I need to do. So I'm going to do it. And the fear of like all the things that comes with, and like
what that could look like and what it means for everything else that I'm doing, like, really makes me nervous sometimes. But I also recognize that I'm not the one that's doing it, and it's not for me. It's not solely for me. And so I am going to do those things and pursue this goal as an act of faith. So in saying all these things and taking time to consider what my fears are and coming to terms with them, it also made me very well aware of my need to do things even when, one, I don't feel like doing it, and two, to make sure that I'm still doing those things with joy, because it's bigger than me. Like, your vision and your purpose, whatever it may be for this year, is bigger than you. And in full transparency, it's also why I'm doing this episode at all. Even late, okay? Because I know that I've been gone for a while, and I know that I haven't been putting out consistent episodes, but I felt very convicted tonight in my need to pick up where I left off and to do this podcast, because it is a part of the vision that was given to me last year that I didn't fully act on. And I'm truly believe that it's a part of my calling and having these conversations in this space. So even though I didn't feel like doing it, I'm telling you guys, like, it was 7:30. I had just put my kids down for bed, and I myself was ready to do something else for the night that did not require me planning a full podcast episode. But I felt, again, very convicted to do it, and in acting in obedience and in being obedient to the call of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and doing the work that He's called me to do, I felt a need to put this episode out tonight. Or at least to record it tonight on New Year's Day, so that you guys could also hold me accountable to this vision and this purpose and this calling, and sharing the process that is happening and as it's happening, and the things that are on my mind and the space that I'm in going into 2020. Because as this stuff starts to pop off, y'all know where I came from. Okay, we started from the bottom. We'll be there, wherever there is, but I really want you guys to experience this journey with me as I'm on it. This leads me to today's LRM excerpt. And a part of why I was so convicted tonight was because as I was reading the book of Mark tonight, I had something come to me in this notion that we all have a role to play. And when I say we, I mean you, me, everybody, everyone has a role to play in this wonderful thing that we call life. So I'm just going to read my devotional, and it's really important that we are sensitive to what the Spirit is doing in our role and in our lives and the roles that we have to play. The whole scene and description of the crucifixion and death of Jesus. Each time I reach it, I can't even begin to imagine what was going on in his mind. Knowing the power that he had in the moment to free himself of the abuse and torment that he was receiving, yet his willingness to go through with it so that he could fulfill the scriptures and carry out his divine purpose. It is the ultimate example of sacrifice and living in obedience. As I read the scriptures describing the death of Christ, I also think about the characters who played a part in his death. They were all destined to play their part, but had no idea of the significance of the things that they were doing and how they would be portrayed historically because of the actions they took in the moment. Take Judas, for example. He was Jesus' follower slash disciple, yet he betrayed Christ, with a kiss no less. Having the gift of prophecy, I'm sure that when Jesus brought Judas into his group, he was already fully aware of the role that Judas would play in the ending of his life. Yet, he made him a disciple anyway. And as for Judas, he probably didn't realize it either, but he was playing his God-given role as well. Another character I think of is Pilate. He had the power to let Jesus go regardless of whether or not the crowd wanted him to be released or not. He was well aware of the fact that the only reason Jesus was being convicted was because the religious leaders were jealous. He could have ended it there, yet he didn't. He washed his hands of what would become Jesus' fate, his death on the cross. Yet he ordered him flogged, beaten, and sentenced to crucifixion anyway. He played his part in helping to fulfill the scriptures as well. Every soldier, every officer, every taunting member of the crowd, and every eyewitness to Jesus' crucifixion also played their part in telling the story. And considering all of this happening thousands of years ago, it also has me thinking about the roles we currently play in this story. Because the story and the life of Christ didn't end there. Like all of the characters in Christ's time, we also have roles and purposes to fulfill, even today. How many of us are seeking them and looking to fulfill them? My prayer is that we all do take time to discern with obedience our role and that we end up on the positive side of history. Isn't that wild? I could go on and on just thinking about how impactful the story of the crucifixion is, especially having read it twice in the month of December. Because for me, thinking about it, Jesus is continuing to die on the cross, even though he knew exactly what was going to happen. He foretold it, he foresaw it, like months, if not, well, I don't know if it was months or weeks, but way before his time had come, and he'd been telling his disciples, he'd been telling everyone, but nobody got it. And even knowing what he would have to endure, he went through with it anyway. It is the ultimate act of obedience. There's a scripture where it talks about how because of the disobedience of one being Eve and eating from the tree of knowledge, like mankind fell or has fallen. But because of the obedience of one, Jesus, in continuing to go through with his death on the cross, all of mankind could be saved. Like, bars, okay, the Bible. All right, so I'm getting a little off track, but I promised you guys three tips to help you lead in obedience at the start of this episode. And so I'm going to share those things with you right now. And these are three tips that have helped me throughout the course of the past 2 years and just like gaining understanding and wisdom and living by faith and just enjoying this journey and this adventure of living a faith-filled and purpose-propelled life. And I've given examples of all of these things throughout the course of this episode, but I just want to make sure that we hit them hard and in a really clear way so that you guys are able to apply these three tips to your life as well. The first thing is to be still. Okay, set up a routine of spiritual quiet time. I shared with you guys earlier in the episode that being still and creating a routine of spiritual quiet time was something that I aim to do more in 2020. And I did it and I've incorporated it to the point where now if I'm not still in the morning, if I don't have that alone time with the Lord, my whole day is janky. Okay, it's a practice and it's a wonderful practice that allows you to go throughout your day with immense clarity and joy because you've basically committed your day to a power, a being, a presence that is bigger than you. And you receive such wonderful gems in that time. The second thing is to get an anchor scripture or a word to keep you on track with your vision for the new year or for every day. I shared with you guys, obviously, that mine is obedience and wisdom this year. And the scripture that I am anchoring on is Joshua 1:6-11. Again, last year, the scripture was Hebrews 11:1 in Living by Faith. If you are able to get a scripture or a theme for your goals or for your life, it just makes things so much easier because it acts as your North Star. You recognize that everything that you're doing serves a purpose and also has a divine intention. And it's also really helpful because if you ever find yourself getting off track, you know exactly what's needed or where you need to be. So I definitely highly recommend getting an anchor scripture to keep you on track with your vision. And the third and final thing to live a life of joy and obedience is to create a vision. Write it down and make it plain. At the beginning of the year, this looks different for a lot of people. Sometimes it's just writing a goals list. Some people do New Year's resolutions. Some people do vision boards. I am one of those people that like basically does all three because I love a good vision. So however it is most effective for you, make sure that you are creating that vision, but put it down. Don't just leave it in your mind, because if you leave it in your mind, you're susceptible to forgetting it. And also just like making excuses not to do it. And if you have it put down someplace where it's like tangible and it's concrete, you're more likely to actually keep up with it and check in on it and revise it when needed. And more importantly, see when the vision has actually occurred and to track its progress along the way. So those are my three tips to lead a life in obedience that also helps cultivate joy. And my prayer for 2021 is for myself, but it's also for all of you listening, that we have obedience like Noah when we don't know exactly what's happening and the world is going astray and crazy, okay? Because I'm pretty sure people thought that Noah was crazy when he was like, I'm going to build a huge boat and put all of the animals of the land on it. But he carried out the plan that was given to him and that the Lord had given him anyway. And it saved him. It saved his family and it saved the creatures of the earth. I pray that we get instructions, divine instructions, detailed instructions, and that we have an intimate relationship and friendship with the Lord like Moses did. And I don't need to divulge on that because I've done enough of that. You guys get it, right? I pray that we have courage like Joshua, patience like Joseph, a heart of praise like David, wisdom and vision like Daniel. And ultimately, I pray that as a result of doing all of these things, that we have a testimony that is felt and experienced like the woman who spoke to Jesus at the well. Are you guys feeling good? Like, I'm feeling real hype for 2021, okay? All right, guys, we have come to the end of this podcast episode. I know, it's probably a little longer than expected, but we had a lot to catch up on, all right? And we also had a lot to discuss for this amazing year that we have ahead of us. I look forward to hearing or seeing or being with you guys. There you go. That sounds right. I look forward to being with you guys and resuming our schedule next Friday. Because now that I am fully clear and fully aware of the fact that this podcast is an essential part of my 2020 vision, I will not be not doing what I'm supposed to do in acting and following through in obedience. I look forward to being with you guys on a more consistent basis and making this podcast one of my biggest priorities for 2021. With all of that said, I want to thank you all for listening and I hope you come back in the weeks to come. I'd love to know what some of your goals for 2021 are, and if you have a theme or a scripture that you base your year's goals on, I'd love to hear that too. Okay, so let's keep the conversation going online. You can follow me across social media at Erica Lasan. And if you enjoyed the episode and would like to learn a little bit more about how I can help you in your journey to purpose and executing your New Year's goals, visit my site, ericalasan.com. Lastly, if you loved this week's topic, leave a comment and rate this podcast wherever you happen to be listening. And don't forget to share it with a friend who may find the conversation valuable. I love you guys for listening, and I can't wait to continue on this journey in purpose, faith, and joy with you throughout this new year. It's gonna be so lit. Until the next time, live rich and happy dream chasing. Bye.